Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. We are continuing with the study of the Gospel of John together, and it is a wonderful Gospel, Besorah, which deals with the divine nature of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, presenting Him here before us in this Gospel, the fourth Gospel, is God the Son of God, who came down to this world to give His life a ransom for many. And so we have arrived to chapter 4 today, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, and I would like to continue with the reading of chapter 4 from verse 31 to the end of the fourth chapter, to verse 54. And so we read in verse 31, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, or Rabbi, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Yeshua saith unto them, My food is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed not labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for that saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Mashiach, the Savior of the world, Moshiach Ha'olam. Now after 2 days he departed thence, and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galilean received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Yeshua came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Kfar Nahum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Yeshua unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Yeshua had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Yeshua did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. This is the passage for this ministry, beloved friend. This is a beautiful passage. You can see how the Lord, as he travels from the Galilee to Judea, now from Yehuda, Judea, to the Galilee, on the way in, he stopped in Samaria, in the Shomron, for he must needs go through Samaria, because he has an appointment with this one single individual, this Haisha HaShomronit, this Samaritan woman that he came to reach her and to bring her to the knowledge of his Messiahship, of his Lordship, that she would recognize that she has sinned and she needed the Mashiach, the Messiah, to forgive her sins. So, on the way to the Galilee, the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, stopped in the Samaria, sitting on that well, waiting for this Shomoni, this Samaritan woman, to come, and he had this conversation with her, which we have already covered in our previous meditation together. By the time that she went into her own city, she invited everyone, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Mashiach, the Messiah? And we stopped in our previous message that they went out of the city and came to him. In other words, these Samaritans, the men in Samaria, after they have heard of the testimony of this Shomoni, this Samaritan woman, they came out of the town, out of the city, they went to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who was still by that well, and they came to see him. And while they were coming, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, in these verses of John chapter 4, from verse 31 to verse 38, as these Samaritan people were coming out to meet Yeshua at the well, the disciples now came back, and they are now being ministered by Yeshua, by the Lord Jesus. It's very interesting how he, the Lord, not only ministering to the Samaritan woman, now he is ministering to his disciples. A little bit later on, in the same chapter, he will minister to the Samaritans, men who came from the Shomron to him. And at the end of this fourth chapter, he will minister to this nobleman that had a son that was nigh to death in the town, in a village called Kfar Nachum, Kapar Nachum. And so those verses, very interesting, verses 31 to 38, You can see how our blessed Yeshua, the blessed Lord, how he is an encouragement to his own disciples. In verse 31, we read, in the meanwhile, in other words, while these men from the Shomron were on the way to the Lord, to Yeshua, it says here in verse 31, his disciples, his Talmidim, prayed unto him, saying, Rabbi, Master, Rabbi, in Hebrew, eat. Rabbi, eat, because they have brought now food for him to eat. Now notice he does the very same thing what he did with the Shomronite, with the Samaritan woman. He is moving from the physical water to the spiritual living water. From water, maim in Hebrew, to spiritual water, maim chaim, living water. Now he is also doing the same thing from physical bread, lechem, food, to spiritual food, and to show to these disciples of his the day that he's thankful, of course, that they brought food for him, but he's showing them about the food, the spiritual food that he has to be fed on. And so they invited him to eat in verse 31, and Yeshua's answer, notice the interesting answer, he says in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have food, in Hebrew, ochel, I have ochel, I have food to eat that ye know not of. This is an amazing expression. I have something to eat, I have food that I'm going to feed on that you do not know of. Now, for them, the bread and whatever else they have brought him, the fish, to eat, but he is now moving from the physical, literal food, bread, ochel, to the spiritual. And he said to them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33, of course, the disciples were puzzled. The disciples said one to another, has any man brought him ought to eat? Is someone have already brought something for him to eat already? We went away to bring food, now he brought food. Did he already eat that he says, I have food to eat that ye know not of? And notice, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, how beautiful it is to see the word of our Messiah Yeshua to his own disciples, ministering to them, showing to them what is important in life. You remember what we read in that God said to our forefathers, to the people of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt, he had mentioned to the people of Israel that man does not live by bread only. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. In other words, man should not only eat the physical food which we enjoy, and we are very thankful to God who provides for us plenty to enjoy physical food. But what about the spiritual food? What about being occupied with God, with His Word, with His service? That's what Yeshua came from heaven. You remember, he came from heaven, and a word became flesh. Why? In order to become his a servant who served God and served men and lead people to believe on his name and his work and his person and to be forgiven and saved. And so he said to them in verse 34 and verse 35, really, all the way from verse 34 to verse 38 is how Yeshua ministering to his disciples. And he said to them in verse 34 and 35, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. These are a beautiful expression, because Yeshua was saying to his disciples that even though he does need, like every man, to eat bread, because man shall not live by bread only, lechem Levado, bread only, but by also by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And so he said to them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me, and he adds, and to finish his work. In chapter 6, later on, we will get to it, verse 38 and 39, we read, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, Yeshua said, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I did not come from heaven. I did not become a man, spirit, soul, and body. I did not take union, humanity, with my divine nature, Yeshua is saying, for nothing. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what is the Father's will? God, the Father's will, which have sent me, we read in John chapter 6, verse 38 and 39, that of all that he has given unto me, all those that will believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is indeed the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Savior of this world, that none of them, that all of them will eventually come to be with him. That he should lose nothing, but they should be raising them up in the last day. But how can he bring men to himself unless he first will suffer and die, beloved brothers and sisters, on the tree? And that is the reason that Yeshua had come. We read it in the next few chapters in John 8 and verse 29. Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said there as well. He said in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You remember, this is really, I do always. You know, you and I do sometimes the things that please the Father. But there was one man that did always the things that God have requested from him. This was the sinless man, Yeshua, Jesus, our Mashiach, our Messiah, the promised one that was promised to Israel in days of old and who came in the fullness of the time. In the Psalm 16, David prophetically wrote, I have said the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You see, David prophetically was speaking about the Messiah who set the Lord always before him. And this is exactly what we read in John chapter 8, in the verse that we have just read concerning the person of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in verse 29, who said, for I do always those things that please him, please my Abba, my Father. You know, when we read such verses, beloved friends, no wonder we fall in love with Yeshua, because he is the man that never disobeyed. Never disobeyed. Always pleased God. Remember, my dear friend, Adam, was the first man that was created by God, and he received only one command from God, and he violated this command of God in the Garden of Eden. And if you and I would have been there, would have done the same. But here's a man from heaven who always, Psalm 16 and verse 8, I have said the Lord always before me. John 8, verse 29, I do always those things that please him. And no wonder we read in John chapter 10, a little bit later on, in verse 17, therefore, doth my Father love me. No wonder God the Father loved him, not only in his relationship with the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and his divine nature, which he always enjoyed a relationship with the Abba and the Ruach, the Spirit, and the Son, but now as man, as a human being here upon the face of this earth who came to die for the sin of this world, therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. We will get to the 10th chapter later on, but you can see that in John 4, John 6, John 8, John 10, the Father loved the Son. God the Father loved his Son because in addition to who he is as God the Son, now as man, God found pleasure in him because, as we read in John 8 and verse 29, I do always the things that please him, that please my Abba, that please my Father. So here back to John chapter 4, where Yeshua said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. How to finish the work? What work does he speaking about, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters? The work is the work of redemption. The work is the work of salvation. And in order to be and provide a salvation for mankind, God had to enter into this world in the person of the Son. And as a man now, he's heading towards that shameful altar. On a Roman cross, he will be hanging between heaven and earth. All the sins of you, me, Israel, the nations of the world, the kings, the rulers, the leaders, all of us are guilty in laying this man upon this shameful cross. And that's why he had to die for the sin of this world. And so to finish the work, to finish the work is where we read in John chapter 19, just towards the end of this gospel, where we read that Yeshua in chapter 19, on that shameful cross, shameful tree, he said, in verse 30 of John 19, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Nigmar. Nigmar. And he finished the work of redemption. He bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. And after 3 days, he rose from among the dead and he was taken to glory to sit at God's right hand until God will make his enemies his footstool. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, here is the Lord Yeshua the Messiah ministering to his disciples, and now he's telling them in verse 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white and ready to harvest. This is very interesting because he was speaking in light of his death to finish the work that his Father gave him to do. And he says, don't say, oh, there's time yet. There's 4 months yet before the harvest will come. Remember, it was the time of Pesach. Pesach was now over. He is back on the way to the Galil. And the Passover, Pesach spoke of his death prophetically. And then the resurrection. Because 3 days after he rose from among the dead, later on we will see it, but prophetically, the season of the Passover is just about to end, and for between the spring season and the fall season, there are about 4 months. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22 we read, and at the end of the first 4 feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits and weeks, Pesach, Matzot, Katsir Shavuot. After the first four feasts, there are 4 months in between until the fall feast will come, which is the Feast of Trumpet, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Booth. Tru'ah, Kippurim, and Sukkot. So in between these 4 months, and it is very interesting, it's not coincidence that Yeshua is saying to them, don't say, there are yet 4 months. Then come the harvest, he says, look, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white and ready to harvest. He's encouraging his disciples to share now who he is, and the reason that Yeshua came, and that he is indeed the promised Messiah, and that he is the Savior of this world, and that he came to give his life a ransom for many. So he said, don't delay. Don't say there is yet time. And how you and I need to realize this as well, we need to be continuing faithfully to share the message of the grace of God with those with whom the Lord provide us a time to share with and lead them to the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah. And he continue now, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 36, Yeshua pointed to the importance of winning souls. The importance of winning soul. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathering fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He continued, notice in verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. In other words, my dear friend, what the Lord Yeshua is saying to his disciples, that they are privileged to be able to share the gospel, but reap by seeing the benefit of hearing of others that have accepted and acknowledged that the Lord Jesus is their Lord and Savior and Messiah. They are privileged to be able to reap what even others have done before them in sharing that message of the Lord. And when you really think about it, the prophets of Israel in history have spoken concerning the coming of the Mashiach. They have already mentioned, Isaiah spoke about the Messiah. Behold my servant, Isaiah proclaimed by the word of the Lord. And Isaiah 53, where all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all, speaking prophetically about the coming Messiah. And others like Daniel and the prophets of Israel, Zechariah, spoke about the first coming of the Messiah riding on a donkey. So others have already spoken about it, and the disciples of Yeshua the Messiah will benefit by going and continuing that ministry that pointed to the coming of the Messiah, and they will benefit by reaping. People will come to know the Lord Jesus the Messiah immediately in those days when the Lord was still on earth, but then after his death and resurrection, when the assembly, the ecclesia, will be formed, and these early apostles from Israel would go and preach the gospel of the grace of God to the world that need to hear of the Savior. We read in various passages, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles, other nations. Paul longed to benefit from sharing the gospel and leading people to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 6, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man hath received his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together, he said to the Corinthian Shaul Paul, with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Very interesting verses that speaks about the sowing and reaping, and the sower and the reaper are benefiting together. In Galatians chapter 6, we read in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Beloved brothers and sisters, how important it is to sow and to reap, to sow and to reap. And this is the, in a typology, in a prophetic order of events, this is exactly what Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22 say, that in the time between the first and the second coming of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, there will be this period of time. It is 4 months on a yearly cycle in for the people of Israel, but it is this long season of time in which we live in the church age, in which the preaching of the gospel continue on, and we are benefiting in seeing people come to know Yeshua. Others have labored before us. We continue to labor, but one after another, benefiting, because God is the one that bring the increase in his own time. So I'm back to John chapter 4, in verse 38, the Lord Jesus the Messiah said, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye enter into their labor. In their case, others before them, looking back even to the history of the prophets of Israel who labored and preached the coming of the Messiah, they have benefited by believing on him now, and they in turn continue on to preach that message to the nations of the world, while Israel at his first coming of the Messiah did not accept him, and the church age was born until it will come to its conclusion, and finally Israel will accept Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But now, beloved brothers and sisters, we have arrived now into this next portion of the ministry of the Lord. This time is now in relationship to the Samaritans themselves, who heard this woman of Samaria saying to them, come see a man, verse 29, of John chapter 4, which have told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? Is not this HaMashiach? So they went out of the city. They were on the way to the Lord. They come and came unto him while Yeshua was ministering to his disciples, telling them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I came to give my life as a ransom for many, to finish the work that God my Father gave me to do. And he encouraged his disciples, his Talmidim, to continue in sowing and reaping, and sowing and reaping, in preaching and hearing others confessing that the Lord is indeed the Savior of the world. And so now we read in verses 39 to 42 how the Lord Jesus is ministering to the people of Samaria. Well, they finally have arrived. In verse 39, many of the people of Samaria, as we read, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Can you imagine? Here's this Jewish man, Yehudi, from Yehuda, and the Samaritan woman asked him already, earlier, she says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And now we can see this Jewish man, this Mashiach, this Yeshua, is requested by the Shomonim to remain with them for a little while, and he tarried with them. Beautiful to see in this passage, verse 40, Yeshua tarried with the Samaritans there for 2 days. Can you imagine what happened to during these 2 days? He probably unfolded before them the history. And again, beloved brothers and sisters, remember that originally the Shomronim, the Samaritans, were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they were part of the nation of Israel. The Samaritans, the Shomronim, became a mixture because when there was a division at the history of Israel, when King Solomon died and Rehoboam, his son, lost the kingdom, from about 930 BC, after the death of King Shlomo, there was this divided condition between the north and the south, between Israel and Yehuda, and what happened is that northern kingdom became an idolatrous kingdom, and God judged them. They became mixing with the people that came outside from Ashur and from other lands, and they were mixed in so many ways. They did no longer believe in all the prophets of Israel. They believed now in the 5 books of Moshe, and even then they have changed many things because they didn't come to Yerushalayim anymore. They went to remain in Samaria. That's why the Lord had to tell the Samaritan woman that salvation is of the Jews. You gotta read the scripture, and upon the promises of God through the tribe of Judah, the Messiah will come. So they have deviated, they've gone so far, but Yeshua must have told them all their history. And for 2 days, he led them to understand that he is the one that is the promised Messiah that was promised to the fathers, to the nation of Israel. And so notice, after 2 days, he remained with them, he abode with them for 2 days. In verse 41, we read the result of it. It says in verse 41 that many more believed because of his own word. You see, many of the Shomronim believed. Again, I told you that today there is about 700 to 800 Samaritans left in the land of Israel. But in those days there were many more Samaritans in a time when Yeshua came some 2,000 years ago. Many of them already believe because of the testimony of this Samaritan woman who say, come and see a man which have told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One? And so many believe already. But in verse 41, many more believed because of Yeshua's words, not anymore only because of the woman's word. And we read here in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because thy saying, for we have heard him, the Mashiach himself, the Messiah himself, ourselves, and know that this, notice this statement, and I love this statement, beloved friend, that this is indeed the Messiah. This is indeed the Mashiach. And they continue, the Savior of the world. In Hebrew we say, Zehu HaMashiach, Moshiach HaOlam. There is a link between the word Mashiach in Hebrew and Moshiach in Hebrew. It comes from the same root word. In fact, there is a link between the name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua, Mashiach, Moshiach, is the same root word, Jehovah the Savior. Every time when you say Yeshua, in the Greek is Jesus, and in English is Jesus, but Yeshua is the Hebrew word. Every time you say Yeshua, and every time you say Savior, Moshiach, is the same root word. Zehu HaMashiach Moshiach Olam. This is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Amazing statement. The Savior of the world. No wonder Shaul Paul said in Romans, to the Romans believers in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I want to read to you this very beautiful verse. Shaul, Paul said to them in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the Messiah." Why, Paul? Why aren't you ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. The gospel of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, that He died, He was buried, and He rose again, is the only authority, the only dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. What one must believe. I trust that you believe, my dear friend. I trust that you see that He indeed is the answer for sin, not works, not human merit, not human achievement, not religion, not man-made system. Whatever one does, it comes out of our own sin nature, but God provided the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. This is so beautiful. No wonder Paul Shaul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah, for it is the power of God unto salvation, notice, to everyone that believe in." He continued, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek, unto the Gentile. La Yehudi barishona velagoy, to the Jew and to the Gentile. But notice, it says, for therein, in that gospel, in that good news, in that death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. In other words, when one believes that gospel, the work of the Messiah, then he being declared righteous by God. The righteousness of God revealed from faith, from emunah, from believing unto believing. One must believe in the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah and in the finished work, His death, burial, and resurrection. The Apostle John said in 1 John, he himself said, this is a beautiful word that John mentioned in his epistle, that concerning the fact that God the Father have sent the Son. Notice that, 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Moshiach Ha'olam. See, God sent His Son to become the Savior of the world. And so, beloved friend, we must recognize that Yeshua is the Savior of the world. And now back to our chapter, it says in verse 43, after 2 days He departed thence and went into Galilee. So now you notice, on the way, you remember what we did say, we began in this fourth chapter, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now we know why he went through Samaria. He remained there for 2 days. The Samaritan woman became a child of God. The Samaritan men, many of them became believers in him. And they proclaimed that he is the Mashiach, the Savior of this world. And so we read, after 2 days, now the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in verses 44 on, you notice that now finally he is ministering now to the nobleman that had his son sick. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, and I would like to read from verse 43 to continue to verse 54, to the end of the chapter. This is very beautiful, because in verse 43, after 2 days he arrived, he had gone towards Galilee, and then there, notice in verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And you know, it is interesting, because he was that prophet that came to his own country, or own nation, the nation, our own people, the nation of Israel, and he, as it was promised, that he would come into this world through the nation of Israel. Micah chapter 5, we read in verse 2 in the English text, "But thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousand of Yehuda, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Mi'imei olam, we read this in Hebrew. The Messiah will be born in the city of Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah, and he is the one that will rule over our people, the people of Israel, whose going forth is from of old, from everlasting. He was God the Son. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the everlasting one. Now he came at his first coming, and our people of Israel did not accept him, beloved brothers and sisters, and that's why the Lord is mentioning here, he said, "The prophet have no honor in his own country." And that was the country of Judea. He was born as a Jewish man to the Jewish people in the land of Judea, in the city of Bethlehem. And so he was not accepted by the spiritual leaders in Jerusalem at his first coming. And we can see that it will continue on, because eventually he will be rejected and despised and placed on a cross by the Romans, but rejected also by his people. And you will see that it will be a fulfillment that we read in chapter 1 earlier. It says here that he came unto his own, John 1 verse 11, and his own received him not. So a prophet has no honor in his own country. It's just like you and I, whenever we share the message with our own families, oftentimes our families do not receive the message that we share with them, because they simply do not receive one that is coming from themselves. And of course, in our case, we have sin in our life, we have failure in our life, they know everything about us, and they reject the message. It says, what happened to you? Who make you all of a sudden a theologian? But when it's come to Yeshua, it's the same thing, because in Israel, our people did not recognize him as the promised Messiah at his first coming, as it was foretold by the prophets of Israel long before Yeshua even came. And so we read that verse 45, we read that when he was coming to Galilee, the Galilean received him, having seen all the things which he did in Jerusalem at a feast, for they also went unto the feast. So remember, in our people's history, when the feast of Pesach and the feast of Shavuot and the feast of Sukkot in the Passover and weeks and in the feast of Booth, Jewish people throughout the generation, including today, going down to the city of Jerusalem, in days of old, the temple was standing, worshipping God at the temple. Today, even though the temple is not there, Jewish people worldwide come to worship God in the city of Jerusalem. Of course, today, because of the rejection of the Messiah, something is missing. Something is missing. For 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years, something is missing. The Mashiach is missing. He is the one that needs to be worshipped. But sadly, there is still that blindness now, until one day God will open the eyes of our people. So many of the Galileans went to Jerusalem. They saw what he did there. Notice then, they have seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem. And you remember what he did. He cleansed the temple. He have actually performed miracles, because according to the end of chapter 2 of this Gospel of John, in verse 23 it says, when Yeshua was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast, a day many believed on him, on his name, when they saw miracles which he did. So apparently, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, performed miracles in Jerusalem at the feast of Pesach, Passover. Many believe on him, but they believed on him as a miracle worker, and they needed to believe on him as a Mashiach, as Savior, as a deliverer, like here the Samaritans who said, indeed, he is the Mashiach, the Savior of the world. And so, beloved friends, it's amazing how important it is for us to understand this. And so now, it says here that they received him. The Galilean received him. Some of the Shomronim, they received him. Now, you can see how beautiful, how there were those who did receive him, who did believe on his name. We don't read of all who have believed on him, because when we get to the book of Acts, we only see 120 in the upper room. But we not necessarily mean that all these 120 were the only ones who believe on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, because what about all these Samaritans who believe on him? What about all these Galileans who believed on him? So apparently, there were more who believed on him. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after his resurrection, he showed himself to 500 individuals at once. So it must be more than 120. But the point is that many believe on his name. Then we read in verse 46, and here's the account with the nobleman that came to have a request from Yeshua the Messiah. It says in verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Kfar Nahum. Now again, notice, Yeshua, it was the Cana is not far from Nazareth, where he lived, where Yeshua lived. Kfar Nahum is in the same area. Cana, Kfar Nahum, Nazareth is all there is in the Galil. And so in Cana, he already performed the first miracle that he did. And now what we find out that he is arriving to Cana, there is a nobleman. Now again, nobleman is one of the people who serve the king or belong to the king. This is King Herod's son, Herod Antipas, who was a very wicked king. And this Herod was the one that John, Yohanan HaMatbil, told him that he was wrong in his marriage situation, and how eventually Yohanan, John the Baptizer, lost his head because of his speaking against Herod. So this nobleman apparently belonged to a relationship or serving among the those who belonged to this king in those days, King Herod Antipas. And so he had a son that was sick in Kfar Nahum. And so we read in verse 47, when he heard that Yeshua come out from Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Look at the faith that this Oved HaMelech, nobleman, this one that came to Cana from Kfar Nahum, he knew that Yeshua was there. He besought him that he would come from Cana now to Kfar Nahum to heal his son who was nigh unto death. And it's interesting that Yeshua said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. See, the importance of the whole book of John is faith in the Messiah Jesus. To remind you, and we do so again and again, we read in John chapter 20, many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Notice that ye might believe, and then believing ye might have life through his name. What is in the name? In the name of Yeshua, you shall call his name Yeshua. In Hebrew, Yeshua means salvation. In the Greek, Yesus, translation from the Hebrew, It speaks of the salvation. You shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save, he will Yoshia his people from their sins. So one has to believe on his name, on his person, not only because he is a miracle worker, but because he is God, the Son, who became a man, and he is the one that will die and be paying for the sin of this world. So he challenged this nobleman, except ye see sign and wonders, ye will not believe. And remember the sign, the first sign that is found in chapter 2 in Cana of Galilee, when Yeshua turned the water into wine at that wedding in the city of Cana. Well, beloved friend, look at the words of the nobleman in verse 49. The nobleman says unto him, Sir, come down before my child will die. He begged him. He besought him. As we read here, he really wanted to have his son remain alive. Who of us would not want to have our children blessed, alive and healthy? You can understand the heart of this one of the who belonged to the king Herod Antipas. And beloved friend, doesn't matter who we are all human beings who need the grace of God. If we only turn to Him, if we only realize that we need Him, because without Him, we can do nothing. So the nobleman asked him, please come before my son will die. And beloved friend, look at the answer of Yeshua. Jesus says unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Here's a miracle. The son is ready to die. And the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, not even going there, he is telling in Cana to the nobleman from Kfar Nahum that his son in Kfar Nahum that was nigh to death now, he is now alive. He will not die. Thy son liveth. Verse 50. This is so beautiful. Bincha chai. Bincha chai in Hebrew. Thy son liveth. He is alive. He is liveth. And the man believed. Imagine, he didn't go yet to Kfar Nahum. He didn't see yet his son being alive. He knew that he was nigh to death, but he believed. He believed. Do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the gospel of the grace of God? Do you believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Do you believe that Yeshua, He is the Messiah? Do you believe that He is the Holy One of Israel who became a man and was here on earth some 2,000 years ago? Do you believe? Do you believe in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name? If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, the scripture says, my dear friend. Do you believe? Do you believe? Well, the nobleman believed. He believed the word that Yeshua spoken unto him, and he went his way. The Lord Jesus already told him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Go your way, thy son liveth. He believed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My dear friend, this is such a fundamental truth that we need to recognize. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good reports. By faith the elders in Israel history observed and obtained good report. We read in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, he believed, and he went on his way. Verse 51 says, as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Well, Yeshua have already said before he left, thy son liveth. Now his servant saying, thy son liveth. Haben shelcha chai. In verse 51, bincha chai. He's alive. Verse 52, then inquired he, this is the nobleman of them, the hour when he began to amend, to get better. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Apparently, when Yeshua spoke the words, verse 50, thy son liveth, immediately, this miracle of the healing of the son of the nobleman. Beloved friend, this is fascinating. This is fascinating. So the father, notice the conclusion of this fourth chapter, beloved friend. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Yeshua said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Look at the progress. The Shomonit first believed. More of the Shomonim, Samaritan, believed. The Galileans, many believe, and more now believe. You can see the nobleman believe, and now his household believe. And the fourth chapter concludes, this is again the second miracle. In Hebrew the word is ot, sign. This is now the second. The first one was in Cana. The second one actually happened in the word of the Lord from Cana to the son of this nobleman who was in Kfar Nachum. This is the second miracle that Yeshua did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So, beloved friend, what an amazing fourth chapter in which we are studying together here of the Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John. The Lord is the one that came from heaven in order to give his life a ransom for many. He is the man from heaven. He is God the Son. He is the God who loved this world and became a man. He is the Ben Ha'adam, the Son of Man. He is the promised Mashiach of Israel and the Savior of the world. And we can conclude this chapter by repeating that which the Shomonim, the Samaritans, said in John 4 and verse 42. This is indeed, verse 42, the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. This is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Amazing. Hu HaMashiach, Moshiach HaOlam. Oh, how we long to see many come to know Him as the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of this world. Well, beloved friend, God bless you, and God open your heart and encourage your heart as you and I trust, have acknowledged Him as the Messiah, the Savior of this world. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.